Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
For Inside Carolina, this is Taylor Viplis, and as always, I'm joined by Tar Heel letterman and current Tar Heel radio analyst, Deems May. Deems, thank you once again for joining us. It was great to finally meet you this weekend in Chapel Hill. What were your overall thoughts from Carolina's much-needed win against the Duke Blue Devils?
Well, it's a lot more fun this week for sure. I tell you, just kind of trying to collect your thoughts and where we sat last week at this time and where we are right now. And I think I think the best part about it was that we talked about it on the pregame show about somebody stepping up and making a play. And of course, it turns out to be Chaz, but there was a bunch going on down there, and the whole year, the fans have done their part, and the student section have done their part, and we've been right there, and somebody needed to make a play, and it just felt like deja vu with the Virginia Tech game last year when Javonte went up and fumbled the ball, and you knew that 98 yards, and you knew there was not going to be a field goal, and we found a way to make a play and get a win in front of a packed house with over 100 recruits, and we just needed that more than anything. I got to be honest. I don't know. You got to just think about, hypotheticals, but if we don't make that stop there, if Chaz doesn't make that stop right there, I just don't see a winning season. I just don't see how we could recover from back-to-back weeks of six overtimes and then 2 yards away from putting the game away and ended up losing. I just don't know if we could have recovered from that. Fortunately, Chaz made the play. Fortunately, Cutcliffe got very arrogant with his play calling. There's 150 different plays you could run. And bootleg's the first thing I thought. I looked at my son and said, they're going to run boot right to the wide side of the field, and he's going to walk in. And fortunately, his arrogance, and he tried to do something cute that would have put him on SportsCenter instead of winning the game. And we were the recipients of a horrible play call. It'll be talked for a lot. And Chaz Surratt and two other guys were right there in the line, and Coach Bateman called it. And I tell you, it's just a whole different circumstance from where we were a week ago, and a lot more fun, and makes this week, Saturday night against UVA, just huge and probably the biggest game in Keenan in many, many years.
Yeah, this win felt like a season-altering type of win, and I'm not sure the team last year wins this game, and I'm not sure the team 2 years ago wins this game. I think that team finds a way to lose. This team found a way to win. Do you think that kind of speaks to the fact that Mack Brown has these guys believing in themselves again?
Yeah, I do. I think it's that. I think, a lot of it has to do with our quarterback and our linebacker and Strobridge stacking up and some guys making a lot of plays. It is what it is. We just did not have any kind of quarterback play last year. And it's hard to put apples and oranges here when you compare Sam Howell. But that fourth down throw down in the end, going in before the fumble, was – it might have been his best throw of the year. I mean, that was just a seed on the money. We converted a fourth down, should have won it right there. But those type of things don't happen last year. So really kind of hard to compare. The quarterback is such a huge – position in any level of football, and he has just made a huge difference, even on an off night. He didn't have it too much. He missed a tight end on a wheel route. He'll be the first to tell you about it. But, man, he just never blinks, and that's what you have to have. And eventually they're going to fall your way. And how about the crowd, Taylor? I mean, two false starts that Cutcliffe tried to blame on shifting. People have been shifting forever, but that was our crowd on fourth and one, and hold them to three, and then fourth and inches and make them punt. Those are big, big plays in a three-point game. And just kudos to our crowd for being loud in the student section. Between this and the Miami and Clemson game, it's as good as atmosphere in ACC.
The atmosphere in Keenan Stadium, I agree, has done a complete 180 this season. And besides the quarterback play, I would say one thing that changed in this matchup, I thought this team, they came out inspired. Normally in these in-state matchups, we've questioned, you know, the toughness and the physicality of UNC's team. But I thought they brought it on Saturday.
Yeah, I tell you, we ran the ball well, all three of us. We've talked about it so much, you know, ad nauseum on the three. Well, why is this guy only getting five carries? Why is it, they're all going to have to come through. And now that, you know, I just love the rotation. Go with a hot hand. And Antonio came in and just he's been great. Eventually in a 12-game season of games that have been decided by on the last play, seven out of eight, you got to have some fresh legs. And I tell you, our offensive line, the move at guard, we ran the ball well. And on the flip side, where I thought we got pushed around by Virginia Tech up front, our defensive line responded, got after the quarterback and caused some fumbles and had some sacks and, of course, made the big play at the end. And I just – you kind of got a feel for, you know, what we can be when we play, you know, up to our potential. And we seem to feed off that crowd like everybody does when they're home. And, gosh, if, you know, we'd have played that way up at Virginia Tech, then it'd be a whole different story right now. But it is what it is, and we're two games away from a bowl, and I'm going to stick with that as a goal for this team. And we got to find a way to get two out of four.
Yeah, I think we're starting to finally see a healthy Antonio Williams. I think there was kind of some question marks if he was completely healthy towards the middle stretch of the season. I think he's healthy and he looked as good as ever. But Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Antonio Williams, they combined it to rush for 229 yards on Saturday. And I thought the impressive part of that number was 180 of those yards came after contact. And while they all have, you know, very different running styles, they all share the same trait that they're pretty tough to bring down.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think there's some rumors that we could get some guys back up front, maybe Polino. You never know. But any kind of depth we can sustain and these younger guys that are coming off a little bit more, we got a tough one coming in. And anytime you can rotate running backs, like you can rotate defensive linemen, I mean, we keep comparing Clemson, Alabama, those guys that are on top on how they rotate those defensive linemen. That really wears down an offensive line. Well, you rotate running backs like that, and you're pounding those guys. Those linebackers from Duke and those defensive ends from Duke, they were pretty good. But at the end of the game, they were getting dragged pretty well. And that's just, you know, six pairs of legs coming at you for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I don't envy the job that Robert Gillespie has trying to figure out who to go with. But I guess at the same time, it's not that bad of a problem knowing whoever you're going to put in there is going to get you a lot of tough yards. But I thought also, part of the physicality we saw, I thought for Carolina's defense, this was the linebacker's best game to date between Chaz Surratt, Dominique Ross creating turnovers. Jeremiah Gemmel was in the backfield multiple times, sacking the quarterback. What did you think about their performance as a unit?
Yeah, it was good to see Ross in there and playing very well. But, I mean, it starts and finishes with 21. I mean, we've talked about him and seems to get better every week. He's starting to tackle more surely, still closes on the ball as good as any linebacker we've had since Zach Brown. I really believe that. I mean, his speed and his closing speed is incredible. When he does see that running back with the ball or that receiver coming with the ball, he's making a lot of plays. But I think the stat that sticks out the most is 41 tackles in the last three games for Surratt. That's insane. Those are Luke Kuechly, Boston College numbers right there if you really want to get down to it. 41 in three games is insane, and he was a hero, you know, and he's just been my favorite player this year, and I'm going to stick with that. And he's going to make and a lot of people probably don't see him. He's running down on kickoffs too. And I tell you, it just says a lot. And, you know, these scouts and these pro scouts, and I know them, I know what they look at. They're looking at these guys play to play, how they close. Good football IQ, and are they willing to play special teams? And he's the first one down on kickoffs and one of the bright spots on the kickoff team. And our special teams need some work. Duke beat us pretty up on with their punt team and our punt return, and those are some things I'm sure we're going to need to work on this week before UVA comes in.
How fitting did it feel that Chaz Surratt would be the one to intercept the jump pass? Because he kind of comes full circle. He was originally committed to Duke, switched his commitment to North Carolina. He started a game at quarterback against Duke, you know, throws a game-sealing interception that goes in favor of the Duke Blue Devils. And then he comes back almost like a storybook ending and intercepts the final Duke's final offensive play.
Yeah, I tell you, it is. It's the whole season, the whole turnaround for him has been just something that's been so well documented and deservedly so. He's just been an incredible player, and it just shows a commitment to his teammates and his school that he was willing to try a new position, and he didn't cut and run and end up playing, you know, quarterback at a smaller school. He wanted to stay at Carolina, get his degree from there, and not only is he going to get his degree, he's going to play a long time in the NFL.
And then the reason he was in the right spot on the pop pass, I want to kind of talk about that for a second. Jay Bateman, he calls a timeout when he sees Duke's formation. He brings them in the huddle, and he says, watch the pop pass. And the last time Duke ran the pop pass was 2016. What do you think that kind of says to the level of smarts and football knowledge that Jay Bateman is bringing to this North Carolina defense?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that he is a game tape studier. I mean, if you're going back that far and you recognize the position, and I think it stems some from maybe there when Duke and Army played, and something just popped in his head when he saw that. And it's just, you got to have a good football IQ and you got to have a good memory. And it's obvious he studied a lot of tape and saw the formation. And I think the thing that really blows more people away that saw it was just how bad the call was. But we had two more guys behind Chaz, and who knows if they would have caught it or knocked it down or whatever. But Chaz still had to make an athletic play. The ball, I think, bounced off of him. He jumped and it was low, and he somehow came up with it. Or, you know, we're in overtime, and we saw how that went. And I think everybody would have been just, I don't know what would have happened there, but man, we just deserved that break, and we fought, and we've been so many close games, and he still had to make that catch, which was even more impressive.
Okay, let's take a quick break here so I can remind everybody about Johnny T-Shirt. Family and alumni owned and operated since 1983, they've become the go-to store for Carolina apparel. They've got your Carolina football shirts, your Carolina football jerseys, your Carolina hats, your tailgating supplies. You want it, and I'm sure they've got it there at Johnny T-Shirt. It's going to be a packed house this Saturday in Keenan Stadium against UVA, sold-out game. So if you're going to the game, be sure to stop by Franklin Street and get your gear. I was checking the weather earlier for Saturday's game, and it's going to be about 50 degrees at kickoff. So you know what? Get yourself a UNC hoodie or jacket from Johnny T-Shirt to wear to the game. If you can't make it to Chapel Hill, you can visit them online at johnnytshirt.com. And don't forget, Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off their orders. All right, let's get back to Deems. Now, Carolina, 7 of their 8 games have been decided by 6 points or less. Have you ever seen anything like this? And, you know, how do you think Carolina, having played all these close games and having all these different late game scenarios, will kind of help them as they go on through the year?
It's got to help, doesn't it? I mean, you've seen just about everything from a 2-point play to almost beat the number one team in the country to missing field goals and 2-point plays and backup third string quarterbacks, you know, throwing passes that they've never thrown before and never will throw again. Everybody just making a play against you and that just don't seem to make it against anybody else. And I tell you, if that doesn't seize you and get you battle ready, I mean, this team is battle tested and nothing that can happen from here to the end of the game after the NC State game is going to be a surprise. It's really not. They've seen it all. They're going to get everybody's best shot, and they got to know that by now. The thing that's a little bit encouraging is the possibility of getting some players back and building a little bit of depth and getting a leader back on the offensive line, no matter what position they put him in. And some of these younger guys that are got some good confidence from, you know, rushing for over 200 yards against, I think it's a very good Duke team. I tell you, their corners were good. They did get beat a lot, but they pressed the whole game. And I tell you, that's unusual in college. It's unusual for a team that recruits like Duke to be able to match up and go out there and press coverage. And they got beat a couple times, obviously twice on long ones, but for the most part, they made it tough on Sam. And that was pretty good defense that I saw that beat Virginia Tech in Blacksburg by 28 points. So credit to our offensive line for getting a little bit salty and having some fun and get ready for a rivalry game. And I just got to believe it's got to lend to confidence and it's got to lend to the battle testedness we have right now that we're ready for just about anything coming our way for the remainder of the season.
This Saturday now, North Carolina plays Virginia, and it's a battle of the two teams tied atop the Coastal. how, if you're North Carolina, do you now turn the page and start getting focused on Virginia after exerting so much energy and so much emotion into the Duke game? Do you think that's something that Carolina fans should be worried about, or how do you think North Carolina will approach that?
No, I think last week, I think a 4-hour bus ride home after a 6-overtime game had to be tougher than anything you'll see this year, as far as being down and being able to get back up. And the fact of the matter is, this game, you know, ended at about 8 o'clock or 7:30 or whatever, and the guys were home and got to sleep in their own bed and get up and get back into the routine. So, since I think positively, you know, how we responded against the rivalry after just a heartbreaking 6-overtime loss, I think the win is going to get them even more excited. And throw on top of that, you know, our crowd that's going to be there early and loud and sold out in a 7:30 game to be on top of the Coastal. I would really be disappointed if we came out flat. I really would. I think that would blow me away, especially with all this on the line. And the fact of the matter is, we're not a great team. And I think we're a good team. I don't think we're very good. We're certainly not great. We've got to do a lot of things right. And if we think that we're going to just show up because we beat a bad Duke team, you know, that almost came in and beat us on a 98-yard drive, our defense got to look at it themselves too. They gave up 98 yards, you know, pass interferences and things like that. But the fact of the matter, they gave up 98 yards and got bailed out by a great play and an arrogant call. So I just can't imagine us being cocky right now, because we're just not good enough to be cocky, but we're good enough to win every game we have. But we have to be ready to play from the get-go.
Okay, let's take one last quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, we're back. Now, you had mentioned it a little earlier before, but I just wanted to go a little further in depth with it. Carolina, we're starting to see some names start to come back on the depth chart from people who were injured earlier in the season. Guys like Miles Wolfolk and Trey Morrison, and in the upcoming weeks, maybe Nick Polino. How big would this be for Carolina to get these players back for the home stretch of the season?
Anybody in the secondary will be incredibly big. I mean, just for the experience, the depth. I mean, you know, Storm, I think he went out in the first series and he was, he was the best playing corner at the time of that. And somehow, you know, I think Duke threw 35 back shoulder throws, you know, on both of our corners, and we still ended up, you know, coming out with a win. So you get Wolfolk back, or you get Trey back. I mean, anybody back in that secondary, just to have some depth and spell some guys if they run two goes on them or two long passes and they put their hand up, and to have somebody to come in there where they're not, you know, gassed on third down after covering for so long. And anytime you can get a senior leader like Polino, and I don't know where he is in his rehab either, but it sounds positive, you know, plug him in some spots, especially if we get some of these young guys struggling against a really good UVA team, against a good Pitt team that really gets after the quarterback big. I just can't say enough how one more experienced body on that offensive line can do nothing but just help out tremendously.
Virginia Cavaliers at the North Carolina Tar Heels Saturday, 7:30. If it's anything like UNC's past games, it's going to be close. All indications are saying it's going to be close on the ACC network. Deems, thanks for stopping by and talking with us, and we'll catch you next week.
All right, bud. See you.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.